and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds. It should be more like, good morning, Sovereign Minds.
And why is that?
Anticipation of the air raid siren.
Oh.
just saying, it's kind of getting weird out there.
It's really weird this morning out there.
I don't know, man. Things are getting really, they're escalating faster than I'd like to see it.
I'm ready this morning to piss everybody off.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Hey, you already did, and you haven't even said any, said a word. Today is October 22nd, 2023. I'm here in the studio, and I'm your host with Sovereign Minds, the radio show. And I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who's all heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
The kid that rocks around the clock is here to fire up the furnace.
Good morning.
That's right. And we also have, I'm going to just say Chris.
It's Christina. Good morning.
We're just going to call her Chris from now on because it's...
I'm actually more used to Chris because in Ukraine it's like Christina, Chris. And actually I just get in you and I to say that Chris is a man name.
No. It's you could be Chris.
Like, I mean, it's more... used to men's.
Oh, maybe. I like Chris. Then I don't have to think
but
about whether
you
it's...
Like, I can be Christina, Chris, producer, however.
There you go. And then Christina. I don't have to remember whether it's Christine or Christina.
Christina.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's...
I didn't mean that. I mean now.
No.
Now our show has come across the street and it was in front of the window.
Yay.
Sorry.
Well, never mind. Okay, so...
We're back in...
So, better watch the door there.
Yeah. Go ahead and lock it.
Yeah, you might want to lock it. Okay, so, anyway, we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent, 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, California, 530-527. 530-527-5534. She will take care of all your insurance needs. Brought to you also by Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes Excavating, 530-605-9575. And also Crackmasters, Jeff Wurst.
Yes, and he's located down there on Market Street. He is very experienced in fixing cracks in your windshields. He has over 30 years of experience, and he... gives you a good warranty on it, you know. If he does any work on it, he guarantees his work down there. Within 500 miles, he's the only one that fixes the chips and cracks in the windshields. So give him a call or stop by. He's located at 3208 East Market Street or call 530-241-8373.
Looks like the guy walking outside needs a crack fix, too.
He needs a lot of things. He was really making me nervous when he was over by my car. I'm not sure what he was doing.
As soon as Christine ended up going out, he ended up stopping at the door, turned around, walked out. That's when I said, now he's right down below. But like, yeah, I mean.
Hey, hold on. Let me click my lock.
You know what? This is exactly part of the problem today. This is exactly
hold
what
on.
Hold on.
We're not there yet.
Back up the bus,
hey,
Gus.
Yeah, you don't get to come in and take over at this point. Yeah, that's okay. So shout out to Marty McGill over at Clear Creek Microgreens.
Say that fast.
MountaintopMedia.com. Big O Tires, Jay and the Gang. And So we've got a lot of stuff to cover today, and we've also got a guest coming in.
Yes, we do.
So I want to start off with this because I think this is like the most important thing I've heard in a while. And this is a little clip from Jesse Waters about what's going on in the world, and then we'll follow that, and then we're going to let you rant, Dave, but not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, just hold that thought. Okay. And here we go with here's a report from Jesse Waters. Oh, hold on. I forgot the
clip. And just give it a second. We will be keying that up here. And here we go.
It's keyed up.
Proxy war.
Got to turn it up.
Tonight, the world is on the brink, and the White House is panicking because Joe Biden's president. The United States now sponsoring a double proxy war against the Iranians and the Russians. China's eyeing Taiwan. And North Korean weapons were just discovered in Gaza. The State Department has just issued a worldwide travel warning to all countries. When's the last time that's happened? Americans aren't even safe in France. Our enemies are being mobbed by angry Muslims. Our military bases are under attack in Iraq. And we just had to shoot down 2 Iranian-made missiles. How was your week? Well, this right now breaks. Putin is in China meeting with Xi, where they're coordinating Mideast policy. 2 American carrier strike groups are in the Mediterranean. And Biden just tested one of our new nuclear weapons, detonating a massive bomb in Nevada. And we keep catching Middle Easterners sneaking across the secure southern border. Axios reports top officials say this has been the, quote, heaviest, most chilling week since Biden took office. The Biden administration is, quote, rattled, according to this report. Doesn't that make you feel safe? They say this matrix of crises pose an epic concern and historic danger. Washington fears these wars can spread. But have no fear. Last night, Joe Biden announced he's a wartime president.
This morning, I returned from Israel. They tell me I'm the first American president to travel there during the war. I boarded a train with blacked out windows for a 10-hour ride each way to Kyiv to stand with the people of Ukraine. I'm told I was the first American to enter a war zone not controlled by the United States military since President Lincoln. We cannot and will not let terrorists like Hamas and tyrants like Putin win. I refuse to let that happen.
Biden's a proxy wartime president. Ignore the fact that his policies got us into these proxy wars. So forget Bidenomics. Biden is running as General Patton. It's an election year. War sells. The Inflation Reduction Act doesn't. Here's proof. Biden's getting slaughtered by Trump in almost every swing state. Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Biden loses in a landslide if the election was today. So Biden's pivoting. He's running on guns and butter. Biden's asking Congress for $100 billion. But Biden says, don't worry. The taxpayers are just funding defense contractors. These proxy wars are made in America.
We send Ukrainian equipment sitting in our stockpiles. And when we use the money allocated by Congress, we use it to replenish our own stores, our own stockpiles, with new equipment. Equipment that defends America and is made in America. Patriot missiles for air defense batteries, made in Arizona. Artillery shells manufactured in 12 states across the country, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, and so much more. You know, just as in World War II, today patriotic American workers are building the arsenal.
All countries.
I got to stop it there. This guy is the biggest idiot ever that we've ever seen. It's unbelievable. Now he's trying to sell us that it's helping manufacturing the war machine.
Yeah, because supposedly there's like 38 states that are manufacturing or starting to manufacture for that stuff.
It's unbelievable how this guy, you can't even make this stuff up. Nero is burning. I mean, Rome is burning while Nero is fiddling. We're getting ready to start World War III, and he's trying to sell us this crap.
Yeah, that it's going to be good for the economy.
It's going to be good for the economy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't heard it's Trump's fault yet that we're at war. Oh, I'm sure that'll come out.
That'll come out shortly.
Let's listen to
Stay tuned.
Let's listen to the rest of it because this guy is a piece of work. Hold on. It's just unbelievable what this guy – here we go. Let me get this thing turned up here. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
American enter a war zone not controlled by the United States military, says President Lincoln. We cannot and will not let terrorists like Hamas and tyrants like Putin win. I refuse to let that happen.
Biden's a proxy wartime president. Ignore the fact that his policies got us into these proxy wars. So forget Bidenomics. Biden is running as General Patton. It's an election year. War sells. The Inflation Reduction Act doesn't. Here's proof. Biden's getting slaughtered by Trump in almost every swing state. Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania.
I played this over again because I think you need to hear it twice.
Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Biden loses in a landslide if the election was today. So Biden's pivoting. He's running on guns and butter. Biden's asking Congress for $100 billion. But Biden says, don't worry. The taxpayers are just funding defense contractors. These proxy wars are made in America.
We send Ukrainian equipment sitting in our stockpiles. And when we use the money allocated by Congress, we use it to replenish our own stores, our own stockpiles, with new equipment. Equipment that defends America and is made in America. Patriot missiles for air defense batteries, made in Arizona. Artillery shells manufactured in 12 states across the country, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas. And so much more. You know, just as in World War II, today patriotic American workers are building the arsenal of democracy and serving the cause of freedom.
Biden's proxy wars, same thing as his jobs plan. We're building back better an arsenal of democracy. Biden loves democracy everywhere in the world except here. Here he's arresting Trump. Now, if it seems like Biden's funding all sides of these wars, it's because he is. He's sending $6 billion to the Iranians, $100 million to Hamas, $14 billion to Israel, $60 billion to Ukraine, $5 billion to the Saudis, and $2 billion for Taiwan. Biden's like a Vegas bookkeeper, because the big guy's getting in on the backside, too. The Chinese, the Russians, the Ukrainians are sending his family millions. And it's not like anyone's tracking the money, because the Pentagon lost $6 billion in Ukraine. And Biden's State Department is admitting, yeah, Hamas is probably going to get their hands on the aid.
The people with guns inside Gaza are Hamas. And so Hamas may try to divert this assistance and keep it from getting to the civilians who it is intended for. We think that's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, see, it's the thought that counts. Biden's policies got us into these proxy wars, and now he wants to run as a war hero. All of these invasions happened on his watch. That doesn't make you a war hero. It just means he can't deter anybody. The world does what it wants while Joe wags his finger and hands out weapons. Now, to be fair, I understand the argument why we have to do it, but we shouldn't be in the position where we have to do it, because the president has turned his back on the American people. Here he was last night accusing Americans of hate crimes.
I know many of you in the Muslim American community, the Arab American community, the Palestinian American community, and so many others are outraged and heartened, saying to yourselves, here we go again with Islamophobia and distrust we saw after 9/11. We must, without equivocation, denounce anti-Semitism. We must also, without equivocation, denounce Islamophobia.
Joe Biden spent more time last night fighting hate crime than he has in 3 years fighting real crime. Hate crimes are less than 1% of crime. And Biden spent 5 minutes in an Oval Office address castigating us over isms and phobias. But Americans are getting murdered, shot, mugged, and the man's dead silent. There are some war zones in America that Joe hasn't visited. North Philly, the south side of Chicago, the Mexican border. Mr. President, if you have some downtime in between fighting Russia and Iran, could you fight the cartels, the gangs here, maybe inflation? That'd be great.
Yeah, if you were trying to sink America, you couldn't do it any more. You couldn't do it any better than this guy's doing. And then, and just like these local idiots. Oh, it's Trump's fault. It's the MAGA Republicans. It's white supremacy. No, it's your government that you've been, you know, in bed with for quite some time that's destroying the world. And we're getting ready. I mean, all I can say is you better prepare, you better store some food, and you better, you know, be ready for what's happening here, because this is going to get ugly. And we haven't even started on the economy yet.
Well, in my opinion, too, the thing that I'm ready to rant about today is we're going to lose on every one of these fronts based upon the way we're acting right now. People forget war is hell. People forget.
People die?
You keep seeing all this crap of, oh no, civilians. They're hiding behind civilians and they're trying to kill you. They're shooting rockets at you from civilian complexes. They're lying to you on absolutely every front. And you know what? A lot of things that happen in war are not right. They're not okay. When we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and killed all of those people, it stopped the war and saved more lives than what ended up taking place.
Still sucked.
But it sucked. Yeah. And that's the thing. Right. War is hell.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as people go and say, oh, we can't do this or we can't do that, we are a complete nation divided. And right now we're a nation divided on all the crimes.
I think we're a nation that has been propagandized, and there's a big percentage of the population that believes anything they're told. They don't have any critical thinking skills. It's a hive mind, the liberals, and they blame everything on everybody else but their own behavior. And it's absolute. I mean, oh, it's Republicans' fault. Well, Trump hasn't been in the office, what, 3 years now? And it's probably his fault. It's probably his, you know, so I'm going to play this. This is James Comer. They found a $200,000 check from Joe Biden, the brother to Joe Biden, after he got paid, and then he'll explain how this works. But how it works is in the tax code, if it's called a loan, it's not income. So these guys are just putting notes and memos on there because then there's no reporting of it. So if it does come up, they just say, oh, it's a loan, it's really not income. Because these guys are snakes, they're criminals, this is a crime family, and they would try to, if Trump received $200,000 via a company that was going under to try to peddle influence to, they'd fall apart.
But that's why they have so many different companies, is they just keep pushing the money through each one.
Well, this isn't the same company. Let me play this real quick, and then you'll hear what it's different than that. But yeah, what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly why they have all the LLCs, because they keep, for lack of a term, shell games.
This is talking about is they've kept saying over and over, he hasn't received the money directly.
Yeah. Right.
Now we've got some money that he's actually received directly, and they're going to try to figure out a way to spin it. It's a loan. But listen to what he says.
This summer, Joe Biden said, where's the money? Well, we found some. We're still digging into evidence subpoenaed from bank accounts belonging to Hunter Biden, the son of President Joe Biden, and James and Sarah Biden, the brother and sister-in-law of the president. A document that we're releasing today raises new questions about how President Biden personally benefited from his family's shady influence peddling of his last name and their access to him. Bank records obtained by the House Committee on Oversight have revealed a $200,000 direct payment from James and Sarah Biden to Joe Biden in the form of a personal check. Here's some important context about this check we've obtained in our investigation. In 2018, James Biden received $600,000 in loans from AmeriCorps, a financially distressed and failing rural hospital operator. According to bankruptcy court documents, James Biden received these loans, quote, based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections, end quote. On March 1st, 2018, AmeriCorps wired a $200,000 loan into James and Sarah Biden's personal bank account, not their business bank account. And then on the very same day, James Biden wrote a $200,000 check from this same personal bank account to Joe Biden. James Biden wrote this check to Joe Biden as a, quote, loan repayment. AmeriCorps, a distressed company, loaned money to James Biden, who then sent it to Joe Biden. Even if this was a personal loan repayment, it's still troubling that Joe Biden's ability to be paid back by his brother depended on the success of his family's shady financial dealings. Some immediate questions President Biden must answer for the American people. Does he have documents proving he lent such a large sum of money to his brother? And what were the terms of such financial agreement? Did he have similar financial agreements with other family members that led them to make similar large payments to him? And did he know that the same day James Biden wrote him a check for $200,000, James Biden had just received a loan for the exact same amount from business dealings with a company that was in financial distress and failing?
So let me get this straight. You're getting ready to file bankruptcy.
With a company,
and you write a $200,000 check that goes through Biden's brother and then goes straight to Biden as a repayment of a loan. That's a bit, and what are you selling? What's the business transaction? Trump's probably, and I'm so tired of these idiots projecting everything. Everything is everybody. If they say Trump's doing it, they're doing it. If they're lying about something, they'll point it to you and say you're the liar. If they're in a conspiracy involved to commit a crime, they'll say you're doing it. These guys have no scruples. They are freaking evil. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the country. They hate America. All, you name it. They hate everything, but they're evil. And so that's what we really are dealing with here.
That's really what I was coming into today and looking at. You see these people, they're tearing down the missing posters of the people that are kidnapped.
Right.
They're tearing down the missing posters. It doesn't matter what side you stand on that case. You have innocent civilians that you're actively circumventing
You're a monster.
I don't support either side of this. I don't support Israel or Hamas. But, you totally lost me, Hamas, Gaza, when you started killing innocent people and children in their homes that were defenseless, and now you're trying to spin it like it's that doesn't really matter. You got to be kidding me.
It's so much worse than that. Because you go through, and I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing images that they're fact-checking, and they think they're doing themselves a favor because there was a fact-check on a bunch of people with Palestinian flags going through in Europe and saying how they were going to rape the women and children and kill their babies. And they go, oh, fact-check, that wasn't recently. That was from 2009.
And in the meantime... Yeah. Oatmeal Brains Joe, Nero, who's got some kind of a dementia thing going on here, funds Hamas, Iran, Ukraine, Israel, anybody, am I missing anybody in the Middle East?
Anybody,
and says it's for our own good because it's gonna help create American jobs and we're almost in World War III. You got missiles coming from North Korea or weapons anyway, and this is all for our own good so we can start the economy and create a bunch of jobs? Are you freaking kidding me? You idiots need to wake up because you're going to be out there in a mushroom cloud with the rest of us.
Well, and there have been failed war after failed war after failed proxy war after failed proxy war that we've been a part of. Somehow the American populace has ended up coming to reason that it's cool if we go over and kill a whole bunch of people, don't win anything, don't win the war, and then come back with our tail dragging between our legs with civilians dying that we left there.
Whatever happened to big government was out of control and we don't want wars that we don't want to be in anymore.
Yeah, but let's see, we left all that equipment and military stuff over in Afghanistan so that it could end up going to Ukraine.
Oh, but that's because we're going to restock.
So they can supply.
It's okay because we're going to restock with new equipment.
We can ramp up our production so that we have more power to
leave it in some other country?
Exactly. So
the question becomes of why did we miss this intel? How could we possibly have missed this? Gosh, I bet it doesn't have anything to do with the fact we left the terrorists with the information of the fingerprints, the retinal eye scans, and all of the information and contacts of everyone that helped us.
All right, two things here. The chat room's not working.
It is on my end.
I've tried to refresh mine several times. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe I'm the only one. And then I want to play this clip real quick before we get to our break here. Bongino this week, and I've been watching a lot of Bongino lately. And I
listen to him a lot. He's got a lot of good information coming across the.
Let's listen to this real quick, and then we'll go to a break.
I'm not kidding. The oatmeal god has decided again to check off box 76 in his 1-100 plan on how to destroy America almost overnight. Joe Biden slammed the right scoop for giving a $100 million gift to Hamas while American hostages are still held in Gaza. Folks, this shit is incredible. This story is so amazing, and by amazing, I mean amazingly stupid, that when I heard it yesterday on his presser he was doing on the plane on AF1, that he was going to give $100 million to Hamas, and he's like, I didn't get any pushback from the Israelis at all. I thought, this can't be true. Maybe the first thing that went through my mind is, the oatmeal gods got it wrong. He didn't mean Hamas. He meant aid somewhere else. He said it the wrong way. And that's why he's saying he got no pushback, because it's not true, and he's the oatmeal god. And then I'm looking, and I'm like, no, this is actually real. So they get into paragliders, right? They got the AKs. They're like, mowing down 270 innocent people. There are now, what, 10, 20 American hostages. How this isn't a hostage crisis the likes of Jimmy Carter, I'm still unsure. Joe, you remember the Carter hostage crisis? It only dominated the news cycle every day.
Yes.
Yet this is as bad, if not worse, and yet nobody seems to be talking about the fact that they're American hostages. They're our people. They're our actual people. And the fact that, what, 30 Americans were murdered in cold blood? And what does this dipshit do? He gives them $100 million reward. How is this not the biggest story in the country right now? Can you imagine? I'm just trying for a moment to get you all to grasp this. Like, in the chat, are you picking up what I'm putting down here? I don't care where you stand on this issue. I care where I stand, and I care where. But on this specific issue, can we all acknowledge that this is probably not a good idea? This is not a good idea. They're going to say, oh, it's going to the Gaza Strip and not $1. Holy shit, bro. Please take an economics course for the billionth time. Money is fungible. If I'm Dan Bongino Terror Inc. and I need $1,000 to go rape and torture and kill people, and I still need $1,000 to pay my rent and food, and you give me $1,000, I can now take the serial number bills that were going to be for rent and food and go pay for the rape and torture. Does he not understand this? Listen, man, I get it. Frosty Langley, I'm sorry, man. I don't care anymore. I can't take it. I can't tell you. I'm like losing my grasp of reality because I can't believe we're living in this crazy world right now. That was a clip from the day.
There you go.
Yep. And with that, I guess we're going to take a break and we will pick it up on the other side. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And there ain't no peace in love ever since the 60s kids grew up. All the drugs and the girls. After all the songs, it was gone in a flash. All those bad boy rebels in the attitude. What a show, we didn't know that none of it was true. Only self-serve anti-establishment. We were all so innocent. Because there ain't no rock and roll. And the blues has lost.
To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Reading. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hey, Joe. Where you going with that gun in your hand? You strip the right from an American, but leave it locked and loaded for the Taliban. Hey, Joe, where you going with that blood on your hands? Heard you say it, it was on the news. You're the president, the buck stops with you. Now there ain't no mommy and there ain't no dad, cause you wrapped them up in the American flag. 13 kids, but you stopped a war, and there ain't no sense going back for more. Cause hey, Joe, we did it. 81 million votes.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. I wanted to put a plug in there. You probably, if you haven't got your tickets yet, they're playing Police State tomorrow. I think it's the 23rd and the 25th, so that would be tomorrow and Wednesday, I believe.
Yep. I don't know about the 25th, 23rd. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be going tomorrow.
Me too.
I'm not sure if there's any tickets left or not, but I know you can get it on DVD as well if you can't get to the show. I want to play. We have a guest here, but before we get to our guest, I want a couple more things we want to go over here, and then we'll get.
Yeah,
to our
he's
guest.
Just sitting in right now, listening to what we got going on.
Okay, so this is another clip from Bongino that I wanted to play, and this is about a liberal, and it looks like he might be finally waking up. Although I'm not sure that Trump derangement syndrome or MAGA derangement syndrome is curable. It seems to me that once these people go down that road, they're either brainwashed. Useful idiots, I don't know, take your pick, have an axe to grind, evil, I don't know, but they don't want to see anything that, they refuse to accept any evidence that is contrary to what they believe. And so here we go with this second clip. Oh, hold on, I gotta do one thing here because I've been struggling. I finally got the chat room open.
I voted for Joe Biden, but this is the...
It's Trump. All messed up.
No, here we go again. It should be playable right now. Let me turn it down a little bit. Here we go. Have we got
nope.
sound in there?
No sound. It kind of was going in and out there for a minute, and then now I have nothing.
Here we go.
In that, I think a lot of liberals are thinking right now. Take a listen.
I voted for Joe Biden. But this is the honest assessment. The guy did, for the things that he was supposed to do, a good job. And for where every other president found a way to, frankly, make our situation a little bit worse, specifically around wars, he did not do that.
He's
and that
about
is a
Trump now.
Huge accomplishment that I think needs to be acknowledged. As a Democrat who has been left homeless, who is now definitely in the center, but probably leaning increasingly right, I'm left yet again with an appreciation, despite the messenger, of the message of the Trump administration, because what those guys did was pretty incredible in hindsight. These Abraham Accords, the Accords with Israel and the GCC, the almost accord between Israel and Saudi, to really be able to find a long-lasting peace is just a real example for the world, and yeah, those guys did a lot of really good work.
Yeah, that's the Trump administration. So what happened to no wars and we want peace and you know, prosperity and economics and oh yeah, and we've been told for what, 3 years now that the economy's booming and they've created all these jobs and everything and everything's going great out there, except yeah, you look around and you go, yeah, I'm being gaslit.
So I want to remind everybody of a policy that the United States of America has held for a very long time and is the reason why up until recently we don't have Americans get kidnapped. We don't negotiate with terrorists. If you take one of our people, we're not going to give you money. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to send badasses in helicopters to go fly over and we're going to kill everyone in the house and grab our guy and come home. We'll either get their body or we'll get them. That's our policy. So, guess what? While people in France are getting kidnapped constantly, while people over in Europe are constantly getting kidnapped, when they find out you're an American, oh, hey, sorry, we're not going to turn around and touch you. There's no benefit to doing that. Same policy applies here. The whole reason why we've won our wars in the past is we go in, we kick everybody's ass, we don't really discriminate against any bad guy or good guy, and if you put people in between us and you, we kill them. That's the fact.
I think that I'm not sure I would agree with all that, and the reason I wouldn't is that I think that they've been funding both sides of the wars, the bankers, for quite some time, and what's happening is the banks are getting bigger worldwide, and everybody else is getting smaller on their economic front, and the people, I don't know if we're actually winning the wars, and we have since 1910 anyway.
That's my point. Yeah.
But that's what they do. I'm sorry, but that's what the bankers do. That's what they've been doing even within our own country, is to pit people. They are funding both sides of so many issues that it's unbelievable.
So here's the bottom line. We are going to have an economic collapse. There's no question about it. There's no way around it. There's no way out of it. There's no soft landing. They're lying about everything. If you run the numbers, it's just so apparent. It slaps you right in the face. I'm only shocked that it has taken this long to come to fruition. Do you think that them spending billions and billions and billions more is going to save the world? I mean, come on.
Where are they getting the money from?
Well, and we've already ended
up coming
showing
from the White House again.
Sorry, again.
It's coming from the White House. Yeah, something like that. That's exactly right, Dan. You got it.
So,
you know.
Let me play this little clip. And here's another one. And this is an interview. This is KJP, the White House press secretary, and Bongino tees it up.
Here's the gibberish coming from the White House again, trying to defend what they call deficit reduction. Our deficits, in other words, the money the U.S. government is spending that it doesn't have, are running at historic highs. So Biden wants you to believe, because they were at historic highs, $1.4 trillion in debt for 1 year in deficits, that they're only going to be about a trillion, even though they're back up to $1.4 trillion, because he says he's... Just listen to Karine Jean-Pierre try to defend this garbage. This is hilarious. Check this out.
He has claimed repeatedly that the administration reduced the deficit. But if you break it down, spending was high because of the pandemic, those programs expired, and that brought down the deficit, and then that deficit reduction was spent on canceling student loans. And then on the jobs claims that he made, he said that President Trump was the first since Hoover to lose jobs during his administration, but and he claimed that he had created 10 million new jobs, but in reality, those jobs have mostly been added back, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics says only about 514,000 jobs have been newly created. So how are people supposed to take this kind of messaging on their most important issue seriously when some of this feels like smoke and mirrors?
Well, let me tell you what the American people should take very, very seriously. Let me remind you of the Trump tax cut.
It's Trump's fault.
You really think it'd be anything different
it's
with her?
Trump's fault. Does anybody, I mean, these low information economic people out there, how many times are you going to say, oh yeah, the deficit's been reduced? Are you freaking stupid? All you got to do is go to U.S. Debt Clock and look around a little bit. They don't even know the difference between the yearly debt deficit and the debt itself being reduced. And so this low information crap, the economy's doing great. It's all Trump's fault, right? Here, I'm going to play a little more here, and then we'll move on. I just can't even believe that people follow
She must have, like, a recording. I'm just saying.
What a sock
puppet. Yeah, it's constant. It must just put
it's
play,
Trump's
and it
fault.
Comes out her mouth.
It's the
American, you know?
Republicans. Yep. It's the white supremacists.
It's always the same with her.
It's the homophobic. It's the Islamophobics. It's the phobics and the Islams and the isms. And it's everybody's fault, but our administration stands on the American people's back to make sure that they have economic prosperity because they're manufacturing weapons of war so that
in 38 states now.
It's people. It's like unbelievable. Here we go. Let's finish it out.
Of 2017, $2 trillion that was not paid for. Not paid for. So I want to be very clear about that.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. She has asked a question about Biden's ridiculously high deficits that are going to bankrupt the United States, and she flips it to a statement about the Trump tax cuts. Let me ask you a question for all the liberal idiots out there. There are a lot of you. I wish there weren't. I wish there weren't. Who pays for tax cuts? Joe, any idea? Now, I can tell you. Let me ask you a simpler question.
Take a guess.
I don't want to even say this is very complicated. There may be liberals listening, so let's start with a simpler question.
Right.
Who pays for a government program? Who gives the money for the government?
No, that's easy. Us.
Okay, we do.
Yeah.
Not hard, right?
We do.
See this.
Who pays for a tax?
Okay, so hold on. Let's stop there. Number one, that's incorrect information. We're on the hook for the borrowing of the money that they're counterfeiting out of thin air. We're on the hook for the interest. So that, you know, debt slavery, you ever heard of that? It's called the borrower servant to the lender, and the rich ruleth over the poor. The Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express. There's no,
there's no federal there at all.
It's not federal, and there's no reserve. So they're printing money. So the Treasury issues bonds that they've counterfeit, created out of thin air, and they sell them to a private bank who then creates the money out of thin air, and who then charges interest on the counterfeiting that they just did, and that's the increase in our debt load, and it's going up and up and up. So who's really benefiting from this? A bunch of private bankers that they're not even sure who owns the Fed, and that's all provable stuff. I digress. Let's go on just a little farther.
Scott. I know you can, because it doesn't make sense. You understand? Again, we're back to the John Stewart thing. Like, okay, government programs are paid for by the taxpayer. The government confiscates your money and it gives it to someone else. If the government doesn't confiscate the money you earn, what's to pay for? Do you understand what an idiot you have to be to believe this? But yes, on what planet does this make sense?
So let me just straighten that out a little bit. They confiscate the money through your taxes so they can pay the interest on the debt, which is going up exponentially because they're lying about the fact that they're not increasing the debt. So every year the interest is going up, and as the 10-year bonds rates goes up, you know, they're hiking the Fed rate, and so the interest gets more and more and more as a bigger portion of our budget, and at some point in time, it's going to be bigger than the defense spending and probably the biggest item on the budget. And so are we really paying it to the government to steal our money? No, we're paying it to a private bank to steal our money through interest that shouldn't even be accrued, because if it was our own money, would you charge yourself interest? You might have inflation. But if you own the Federal Reserve, would you charge yourself interest on a debt that you created out of thin air?
No.
How stupid is this? But we can't figure this out, and it's all Trump's fault.
Yeah, but this has been going on for a long time.
Absolutely, and I'm
not saying you are. I'm just saying this has been going on for a long time.
Anybody's got lily white hands that are pure and soft and pink and has no culpability here. I'm saying that the bankers have been doing this since they got their bank, and as soon as we got
way back,
as soon as Nixon severed the deadline, you know, the line between gold and money being printed back in August of 71, We've had a deficit. Go look at the charts. You can pull them up. The debt starts going up exponentially from there, and every president has been involved in this, Republican or Democrat, but it's all about the Trump Republican MAGA guys, right? They're the ones doing, they're the problem. You homophobic white guy. What? All right. I'm going to play just the last bit of this, then we'll get to our guest.
Oh, man, if I sound frustrated today, it's because I've been thinking about this all night. Then they give themselves credit for deficit reduction. This guy is running up historic amounts of annual deficits. Trillions and trillions of dollars are being spent we don't have. We are going to go de facto bankrupt. And then celebrating all these jobs in a rare act of journalism. Rob, I think that was a Fox reporter. That's why. Says, well, you guys keep talking about creating jobs, but that's not exactly accurate. You know, we lost a bunch of jobs in the pandemic. They've barely been added back. You keep saying 10 million jobs. It's actually closer to 500,000. And by the way, the Biden administration's had nothing to do with that. That's the private sector.
Let's see, 10 million, 500,000. I don't like do math really well, but I'm thinking like 500,000 is a lot less than 10 million. And, you know, and he mentions Fox, and I'm gonna jump on Fox here. How come you never talk about a private bank issuing our currency, and we're gonna wake up homeless in the lands that our fathers conquered through taxes and inflation? I guess that just didn't get into the picture because, I don't know, Rupert Murdoch is maybe part of that deep state swamp thing?
Well, that's, again, goes back to the bankers that, you know, everything's owned by just a few companies. Hello? You know, Vanguard, State Street.
I bet you turn on, you got pictures of Trump all over your bedroom walls, and you look at that every day.
Yeah, I do.
I bet you you're a slave owner in your industry.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess that makes you ancestors slave owners too. Then
you got to remember that.
Really,
I'm white
sister,
and I'm a female, so I'm really bad.
We found you when you were young. And that is why, because my ancestors didn't own slaves, and they were Irishmen who were treated like slaves.
Yeah, mine were the only ones that were slaves.
Well, that's because we found you, remember? Don't forget that. I'm telling you. I was there.
Okay.
And we found you, and you're not of my blood. And so, but, you know, I guess if we were members of the Irish Brigade who fought to end slavery, you know, and took the third most casualties in the Civil War, our ancestors, I'm still a slave, white supremacist, right?
Well, yeah. Just a minute. Admit what
you
is really
totally,
going on.
You are totally proving my point that we found you.
Just admit to it.
Let's, should we get to our guest?
Well, we'll bring him on a little early, I guess.
There's no pretenses on who we really are. We have Craig Watkins with us. Is it Craig or Greg?
Greg.
And I'm not sure, are you still? Yeah,
he's
still
the mayor.
I thought so. I remember you. We met quite a while ago. And,
yes, out of Shasta Lake City.
I wasn't sure if you were still mayor. I know that, you know, because
we take turns rotating.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
I couldn't remember for sure what rotation.
So
we
want to talk about the politics in Shasta Lake. Now, I live north of Shasta Lake in Mountain Gate, but I don't really follow the politics in Shasta Lake too much because I'm not that involved. My address is Reading.
I'm not involved with them there, but I'm quite aware of a lot of the stuff that's going on in Shasta Lake.
Well, we've had Camille King on the show.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of facets to this. But anyway, Greg wanted to come in and talk about some of the stuff that has really kind of like lightened up here or got hot or however you want to put that.
Well, it's one thing, you know, when you're the mayor, we worry about running the city government. But we also have a school board. And the school board has a lot of impact on our property values. It has a lot of impact on whether people want to move to our town. We actually, our school board serves Mountain Gate. So we do have that in common there.
Oh, I see. I don't have kids that are in school in Shasta Lake. That's why.
But it still affects your property values and whether people want to move to live in Mountain Gate, up to Lakehead.
I didn't realize that we were all in the same district as the Shasta Lake as far as the school.
Yeah, it's Gateway School District.
And that goes all the way up to
Lakehead.
Lakehead.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Well, you learn something new every day. We've been in so many different fights. That's just one we haven't jumped into yet.
but we have been involved with school boards and trying to figure it out and get the right people onto the school board.
You have.
Yeah, so.
Well, I attended, I'll back up a little bit. I went through all the elementary schools in what was Central Valley then and is now Gateway School District. I graduated from Central Valley High School. I came back. I've been on the city council for 17 years. There are no term limits, and for some reason, the people keep voting me back on. So I've been mayor four times. This is my fourth time as being the mayor, and this is the first time I've got involved with the school board. When COVID first came, I went to a school board meeting, and I said, you know, we're not shutting down our city. We're still going to have electricians to give you electricity and water and sewer. Right. And I think teachers are essential workers. You need to keep the schools open. Of course, that didn't happen. So then we fast forward and we had a school board and we had Cheryl Clifford was elected a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that school board wanted to hire a superintendent, and they kind of split over that, and Cheryl Clifford resigned. And as a result, I went to a school board meeting, and there were the Haineses and then the Wallace and Phil Lewis, and I said, why don't you just appoint somebody? It's a waste of $50,000 or whatever it costs to have a school board election. And that board was so split, they couldn't do anything. In fact, last week, there was a proposal that How do we inform parents? How do parental rights work?
And the school board. Parents have rights?
No, they don't anymore. But the school board split 2-2. They couldn't sign it. They couldn't do anything. So now we have
a stalemate then. A Mexican stalemate.
Total stalemate. So I took the time. I said, this is a very important election. And I sat down with both candidates. I didn't know either one of them before I met them. I sat down with Camille and talked to her for a half hour, and then I sat down with Casey Bowden and met with him. And he's a great man, and I went to his Little League practice. He's a coach. And I sat through an hour of them having a Little League practice, throwing the balls, trying to get the kids to hit and, you know, do a good job. And if I had a kid who was going to play Little League, I'd want Casey Bowden to be the coach. But I don't think Casey Bowden is the best one to be on the school board.
Why do you say that?
Well, this is a very divided school board, and Casey aligns with two of them. And I watch what Camille King does, and she is an independent thinker, and she will side with some one time and some the other time. And I went through a whole series of questions with each person to say, how do they reflect my values and some of the parental values? I'm not saying that all my values are right, but that's the place I'm going to come from.
I just want to do what's right. I mean, is that a value of actually wanting to do right instead of wrong?
It's very hard to do it right because we have a state and a governor and assembly bills that come out of Sacramento that are not right. And one of the things that happens, you get an assembly bill and it says, if you are a caregiver or a teacher, you cannot inform a parent that their child wants to transgender. So if you can't inform them, that's the law. That will eventually get overturned within a year.
Sure.
But during that year, a lot of damage happens. And so I asked a very specific question then to Casey, and I said, if you were going to I took a hypothetical question. I said, if the state came and said you had to put tampons in boys' bathrooms, what would you do, Casey? And he said, well, it's the rule of law, we would have to do it. I asked Camille the same question. What would you do? She says, you need to have boys' bathrooms and girls' bathrooms, and if the state forces us to do that, then you would have a unisex bathroom where you would put tampons in so that a person could go in. And I thought that was a much better approach to doing it. I also asked some simple questions like, do you attend a church? Because I'm a Catholic, and I attend church on a regular basis, and as a Christian, I have certain values. So I think if you attend a church, that's I can ask that one question. And Casey said that he has no religion. He's what we'd call a nunner.
And I've never heard that term. Nunner.
Here's what I think on the nunners. I think the nunners worship the state, and which is kind of a religious aspect too. Because what happens is you can say, I don't believe in any Christian values, but I believe whatever the state tells me is the rules. And that is almost a religious standpoint in itself, because the state makes a law does not necessarily mean it's rule of law. Because if the state says, we're taking your rights away, they are circumventing the rule of law if the Constitution is the supreme law.
But if, to me, a nunner, as you guys are terming this, that could go, I mean, that could go across, you could be an atheist, you could be a lot of things in saying that. You could be the devil worshiper. You could be a lot of things when you put that box up.
But if you're a devil worshiper,
the news
from
Town Hall is brought to you on
CCR. We're being cut off. We will pick this up on the other side.
Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Waiting for a ground assault on Gaza by Israel. The tanks and troops are gathering, but so far no indication when it might happen, though it is expected that it will happen. The Air Force was busy overnight, though. IDF planes striking Gaza several times. Also bombed two airports in neighboring Syria. Israel's also been trading fire with Lebanon's Hezbollah terror group backed by Iran on a near daily basis. There are concerns that the whole thing could spread into a regional conflict. Still no major improvements in President Biden's approval ratings. Correspondent Ken Lorman has that.
The latest Real Clear Politics average of national polls finds 55% of those surveyed disapprove of the job Mr. Biden's doing, while only 41.4% approve. That's a 13.6% spread as Team Biden prepares for next year's election. Meantime, Mr. Biden is about 1% behind where former President Donald Trump was at this point in his presidency. Ken Lorman reporting.
The Supreme Court will indefinitely block a lower court order curbing Biden administration efforts to combat certain social media posts.
Those topics include COVID-19 and election security. The justices said Friday they would hear arguments in a lawsuit filed by Louisiana, Missouri, and others accusing administration officials of unconstitutionally squelching conservative points of view. The new case adds to a term already heavy with social media issues. White House communications staffers, the Surgeon General, and the FBI are among those who would have been affected by the order. Keith Peters reporting.
Gale force winds and flooding have struck several countries in northern Europe. As the region endures more heavy rain, forecasters say it will continue for another day or two. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
Pakistan's former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is home. His return on Saturday on a special flight from Dubai ended 4 years of self-imposed exile in London.
With elections scheduled for January, Mr. Sharif is returning from the UK. However, he faces significant hurdles, including overcoming several prison sentences and a lifetime disqualification from standing for office. This week, he received temporary bail, making it unlikely he'll be arrested upon his arrival. Most analysts believe it's highly unlikely that he would return without some agreement with Pakistan's politically powerful military, the same institution he was viewed to have fallen out with when he was imprisoned.
BBC correspondent Caroline Davies. According to Iran, has sentenced two female journalists up to 7 years in prison for collaborating with the U.S. government, amongst other charges. Both have been in prison for over a year already. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. This story has lawsuit written all over it.
A homeowner wondering what to do next after a company demolished her home in Atlanta. Susan Hodgson says she found a pile of rubble where her longtime family property had stood when she returned from vacation. She says a person in charge admitted he was at the wrong address. In the meantime, the wrecking company says it is investigating and working to, quote, resolve the matter. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, October the 22nd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Christopher Lloyd. He's 85 years old. Fellow actor Derek Jacobi, also 85 today. Christian singer Toby Mac has 59 candles on his birthday cake. Comedian Carlos Mencia is 56, and former Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour, 76. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Back his clothes all around. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles.
You're back here with Sovereign Minds. Home of the Free Fire Media.
I thought you were playing that. Going to do the town hall.
I am going to play it.
Okay, the way you did that, I wasn't sure what we were doing there. Sorry.
Here we go. Here's the town hall.
Good day, and welcome to this week's town hall news brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In our first brief, tensions ran high at the Gateway Unified School District Board meeting on Wednesday night. Shasta Lake resident Joseph Fairfield announced he has filed a lawsuit against school board candidate Casey Bowden for alleged breach of contract and defamation. Andrea Bowden, wife of candidate Casey Bowden, was reprimanded by trustee Lindsay Haynes for being disruptive during the meeting. Mrs. Bowden was asked to leave but continued aggressive behavior towards another speaker before exiting. She then yelled profanity at Mr. Fairfield outside the board chambers. Shasta Lake resident Dolores Lucero served the board and also filed a complaint with authorities that Mr. Bowden's campaign logo is too similar to Gateway's logo, which she alleges is unlawful and harmed candidate King. In another incident, board member Phil Lewis had a verbal altercation with trustee Lindsay Haynes and Eli Haynes that was broken up by Superintendent Kyle Turner. Finally, a ballot measure on parental notification failed to pass due to insufficient votes. In a related story, the Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce has received a record number of calls asking for candidate forum between Camille King and Casey Bowden for their upcoming election. The chamber has never gotten so many calls about one issue before. To facilitate this forum, the chamber is collaborating with the League of Women Voters to schedule it for sometime next week. Mrs. King has agreed to participate, but they have contacted Mr. Bowden to confirm his availability and are still waiting to hear back. For more details, call the chamber at 530-275-7497 or the town hall at 530-962-0316.
Shifting gears, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 to appoint Dr. James Moo as the new public health officer for the county. Dr. Moo is a local family medicine physician with 30 years of experience. Supporters argue his diverse medical background makes him qualified, while opponents are concerned he lacks public health expertise. The board previously reduced the required qualifications, which stirred debate. Dr. Moo will be paid $18,522 per month. He must obtain state medical board certification within 2 years to keep the position. As a health officer, he will oversee public health programs and respond to issues like infectious diseases and substance abuse. In our next story, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors unanimously voted to create an internal community action campaign expressing opposition to the proposed Fountain Wind project, which is currently under review by the California Energy Commission. The campaign aims to educate residents on the project's history in Shasta County and potential negative impacts and encourage them to contact state officials urging disapproval. The board had previously denied local permitting for the 4,500-acre wind energy facility proposed by Fountain Wind LLC on leased private land in the county. The project seeks state-level approval through an opt-in certification process allowed under AB 205. In our final brief, the City of Reading has proposed multi-year water, wastewater, and garbage service rate hikes from 2024 to 2027 to fund infrastructure updates and meet regulations. Average monthly increases would start at $16.83 in 2024 and reach $10.24 by 2027. Notices were sent for customers to submit protest letters that could block the hikes if more than 50% responded. After a November 7 public hearing, the City Council could approve the increases, which aim to replace aging water facilities. Supporters argue rate hikes are needed to avoid service reductions, infrastructure failures, and higher repair costs. Critics say the hikes impose financial hardship. The outcome depends on public input and the final City Council vote. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at 420 Truth Teller on X, formerly Twitter.
Well, it sounds like there was a little bit of fireworks there the other night.
I was not there, but I read the same account, and it just shows you how divisive that school board is, and nothing's happening, and it's not helping our community.
Right.
And we need a person who can be on that board who's a unifier. And I believe Camille King is the unifier, and I believe that Casey would simply side with Lewis and Dale Wallace.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like they almost had a fist fight, or did they have a fist fight?
Yeah, we need to start going through those. They might be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got pretty heated.
Crazy.
And there's a lot to this whole story between Casey and Camille and the board and everything, too.
Now, they also mentioned the candidate forum. And
yeah.
I don't believe a candidate forum is going to happen because there was a candidate forum at the Lighthouse.
Last week?
2 weeks ago. And Casey did not show up.
Why? Does he? Have you talked to him and asked him why? Or does he have any reason?
Well, Joseph Fairfield helped put it on. And he claimed that he didn't get confirmation that it was still going. Still ongoing, and so he did not show up because he had scheduled a Little League practice that day. I went to that candidate forum, and there were 40 people there, and Camille.
So obviously they
went ahead with it, and Camille.
Well, but obviously there was notice of, or all the other people would
there,
have known.
There was notice, and I believe that Fairfield, part of that report said that he was suing him for defamation or some
correct,
point.
Yeah.
So that's an ongoing issue. Whether
and then you got Lucero suing the. What is she suing for?
That has to do with Casey's signs. That
the logo.
The logo looks a little bit like the gateway. They're the same color.
She's suing Bowden. Who's she suing?
I'm not sure who decides that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, too, after the lawsuit, I believe the logo changed.
As far as I know, the logo is still around. But yeah. I believe he had 24 or 48 hours to take down the signs because if you look at it, the colors and the way it is presented, it looks like just exactly like the Gateway School District.
So
logo.
That's the gist of it. He's been endorsed by the Gateway School District. Is that why the lawsuit?
That's the allegation. Yeah. And when you look at it, there are some similarities, but it's not an exact copy.
But at first glance, you would think that it was a Gateway School District sign.
So the chamber was trying to host a candidate forum, and I happened to go to the SEEK multicultural event last night and yesterday in Anderson, and Susan Wilson was there, and she said, I am available anytime to do a candidate forum. And I believe what the problem is that Casey couldn't find a date that he could, that he was willing to meet with them. So they had the facility set up, they had the moderator, but they didn't have two candidates.
Okay,
and Camille King said she would come.
In that case, I got to give a little bit of pushback on that idea and concept. Okay, you expect us to have you take a position, and you can't make the time even to answer questions about said position and where you'd feel on it. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
if you can't do that, you don't even be up there.
I don't believe he has accepted or attended anything in that forum.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very conservative school district, isn't it? Or is it not?
The whole area is conservative, and in the election, I think they vote 60% for Trump in our
vote. Makes me suspicious, then, is that if you're going to show up and have to reveal your positions, and he's, if my understanding, and I don't know, is that he's very left-leaning.
Well, and actually, let's do this just so everybody knows we're on the up and up. If either of them want to come on and want to represent for the area and have a conversation about what you feel and what you want to do in our community, you're welcome.
Be advised that, you know, I don't pull punches either. I mean,
I'm going to ask
questions, you know, that are serious questions. And so,
I think the questions in these forum, I don't know if they were presented to them prior, but I don't believe so. And sometimes that could be an issue with, I'm just saying, with some candidates, it's like coming on the radio. We've had this happen in the past when I've talked to people, because if they don't get the questions before, they're like, well, I'm not coming on. Well, we don't give questions to anybody.
That's BS. I mean, the real deal is that if you're not steadfast on your positions and you don't understand what your positions, and you need to get the questions in advance so you can think of what your positions are to give canned answers, then I don't trust the anyway.
Okay, with that, we do have a caller. We do have Dolores on the phone, and maybe she can enlighten us on some of this.
Logo, I guess.
I imagine she was at the Gateway.
Yeah, good morning, Dolores.
Good morning. Yeah. Regarding the logo, it is a prohibit for any person who's running for any position to use a similar logo that it represents a school or any sheriff or DA's office. I do believe that Cheryl Clifford, actually, when she ran for, I think it was Board of Supervisors a couple years ago, she also received a notice by the sheriff that she could not use the logo. And so I know another public official also receives a notice and not to use the same logo or similar or anything like that. And I know because I also contacted an attorney who actually sent a letter to a person who was using my logo, and it was copyright. You cannot use a copyright logo from any agency without their permission. So when you do that, the school becomes liable, because they have an obligation to say something, do something to the, and send a letter to that person who's running and using the logo to stop using it or take down the signs, or he could be penalized. So it is a prohibit for someone to use somebody else's logo, just so you know.
Interesting.
So I wanted to clear that up.
Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to make sure that everybody, you know, has a clear understanding regarding logos and the prohibited law.
That's my point. It seems like a distraction from what we should be talking about.
Right.
It interferes and also to steer the voters to thinking it's the Gateway supporting this person.
Right.
And so therefore the school becomes liable, not the school members, but the school itself, period.
All right. Well, thanks for that. We do have another caller on the line.
Thank
so
you.
Thanks, Laura.
We appreciate that. We've got Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick. Nick, are you there?
Nick.
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio off, Nick.
Nick.
I got you. Hey, I'm sorry. Well, come on, your damn thing. I'm
well,
sorry to
turn off your radio, Nick.
I did. The damn thing don't work. Hey, listen. I called
turn
for
it down.
Two things. One, I'm going to have Kevin Cry on Poke the Hornet's Nest next week. And I want you to tell your friends, your liberal friends, to listen in. We're going to talk to Kevin about some things that haven't been brought up.
Are you assuming that I have liberal friends?
Well, I was more or less talking to your audience.
Oh. I don't know if they're... I don't
well,
even know.
I was
going to
say, I don't
too.
Think that that works too well either, but there might be a few out there.
Maybe they're listening. I
yeah, maybe. And...
I know that a news cafe listens because they're constantly running down what all three of our shows say, so they're paying attention. Anyway,
I might have to argue that because what they print has nothing is nowhere near the truth or what we're talking about, so I don't think they have to listen.
It's all Trump's fault. Never mind. Yeah. Just rude. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, what I called about is you were talking about having a forum with Gateway and having the League of Women Voters run it. And you know what? I don't even care to go to another forum that they're running. They lean so left, it's pathetic. They won't let any audience participation. I mean, you can't even clap. And you can't tell me Missy MacArthur and Susan Wilson aren't liberal as they come. And, you know, you can submit a question in writing, but they never ask that question. And if they get even
That's
close
fair.
To it, they twist it around. I just, you know, I wouldn't mind getting together with you guys and us starting our own forums for debates.
But I think the first forum at the church wasn't arranged by them. It was independent, and he did not attend that one. For
well,
whatever reason, I, you know.
I really
but,
wasn't referring to that one in particular.
Oh,
I was
okay.
referring to any forum that they throw. It's just so one-sided,
yeah.
so liberal, it's just stomach-churning.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, and to me, it seems like there needs to be a question from either side. So you clearly know where a lot of folks stand, and you clearly know where the other side stands. So have one side submit a question, have the other side submit a question, and that way it's fair for both.
It doesn't work that way. You write down your question, and they have somebody come around in the audience when you hold your hand up, and they take your question and take it up to the moderator, and the moderator decides
which
question
mm-hmm.
the moderator is going to ask.
Yeah, that's BS, because it's like, oh, gee, we'll just screen the questions, make sure that none of the hard questions get asked, or whoever we favor the most. I don't like that.
It's the ABC debates.
Well, I have been to those candidate forums by the League of Women Voters, and I've submitted some hard questions, and my hard questions didn't get asked.
Exactly.
Some of the softball ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's exactly right. It's a screening process, and we're not looking for people to screen for us what we want to hear from the candidates. We want to hear the candidates themselves answering our questions that we believe are important.
Important, yeah.
The one,
so why do we let them old women run them forums?
Okay, well, the one forum we had at Lighthouse that Joseph Fairfield ran, I got to ask, as mayor, I got to ask the first question, and then they had 40 parents in the audience, and the parents asked the questions, and Camille did a fabulous job answering them. I was thinking, boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to answer those questions.
Oh, when you say the Lighthouse, you talking about the fish and chips place on Hartnell?
No, the Lighthouse Church in Shasta Lake City.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know there was one.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you know, they bill themselves as nonpartisan. What a bunch of crap. That's like Mary Rickert, Tim Garman, and Leonard Modi saying that they're Republicans. Give me a break.
Well, you're not buying that today? Come on.
When I spoke the other day, I told everybody I was a Marxist big government guy, so I you know, why not? Because if you could just go up there and say who you are, and everybody's just supposed to buy into it despite what you actually really believe, because if you're in a county of conservatives and you go, hey, I'm a leftist Marxist kind of guy, does anybody want to pay attention to you after that? So you have to say I'm a conservative Republican with fiscal responsibility, because that's what they think people want to hear, and a lot of people just suck that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I can think of a few like that, yeah. Hmm.
Well, and the problem is anymore is, you know what? I think that they might be identifying as Republican because a lot of these guys over there in the Republican Senate and the caucus and all the rest of them, they don't give a crap.
Well, it's like what Bongino says. You can make on the Democratic side, there's no Republicans. Okay? But on the
Republican side,
there's
Democrats.
Democrats.
Yep, there sure is.
Well, that was one of the questions I asked both candidates. I said, what party are you associated with? And Camille King said, well, I'm a Republican. And I asked Casey, what are you? And he said, I'm an independent. But then I happened to notice on the voter registration, he had just switched from Democrat to independent.
Before he filed.
That's a game. The Democrats typically can't really say what they stand for. That's why the game. It's kind of like going to a basketball game and you ask them, you know, after the game's over, hey, what did you think about the game? Well, it was a team effort. And they give you all these canned responses that, you know, don't tell you anything because they're not trying to tell you anything. They're just trying to make it a good interview.
Well, before I ask each candidate what party they were, I ask them, how do you stand on abortion? And Camille said, I'm pro-life. And Casey said, I'm pro-abortion, or I think a woman ought to have a right to choose. So I really didn't have to ask if they were Democrat or Republican
right.
at that point. Mm-hmm. Or I could have saved the abortion question.
Let me tell you about my experience with illegal women voters, and I'll let you go. I went to one of the forums, and I wrote down a question. And the gal that came around and collected them stuck mine on the bottom of the pile. I said, why'd you do that? Why'd you stick mine? Oh, I didn't. Yes, you did. I watched you. And she went up and turned it in, and she comes back, and she says, I put yours on top. Yeah, like I really believe that.
Well,
you're supposed to just go along with the program Nick.
Hey, Nick, just fill them out in crayon next time, and you'll probably get to the top of the stack.
Hey, thanks for letting me on. You guys have a great day.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, back before we had the break, we were talking about non-religion, nunners. I did ask Camille if she was belonged to Bethel, and she said she did not. She went, I think it was Little Country Church or something.
Yeah,
like
I saw that too. I try not to, form opinions on where people go to church at because that can be a little bit biased as well. Especially in this town, you know, when you've got Bethel, who's a big church, you know, and there's a lot of mixed feelings about Bethel and land ownership and so forth. But I also know some people that I've met from Bethel that were stellar and salt of the earth. So, I you can't go by, their religion or their color, their skin. You really have to go by their policy stances and what they're going to do.
I did ask about the COVID lockdowns and how they thought, both candidates thought the schools ought to be. And Casey said he thought the schools were locked down for way too long. But Camille said, I don't think they should have been locked down at all. And right when their schools closed, she said, I can't homeschool my kids. So when there was no public school, she then put her kids in a private school. And Casey says, well, I'm the only candidate on the forum that has a student in school. He has a fifth grader going to Grand Oaks. And Camille, her son will be attending Central Valley High School. But, of course, that's somewhat dependent on how the school board
I
can completely relate to that because, in my opinion, after examining all of the facts that I can find from wherever they come, is that the whole vaccine lockdown thing was kind of a psyop, you know? Now, was there really a thing going on there? Yeah, there was a thing called COVID-19. Was it as bad as they said? No. Did the vaccines that were being pushed on us by the manufacturers under the emergency authorization usage make them completely invincible against lawsuits? Yes. They had no liabilities at all. And in the process, they changed the voting laws. They usurped a bunch of power that they didn't have before. No good crisis goes to waste. So I'm saying, and we pulled our kids out of school. As soon as you are forcing my kids to take a shot that has no clinical trials, has no, a proven track record of actually being effective, and we were right. You know, maybe if we look back and we go, oh yeah, it's 100% effective. Then it was 90% effective. Then it was 80%. Then it didn't work at all. Then you could actually spread it when you got it. So the people that said, wait a minute, slow the bus down here. Let's take a look at this. We're right. Now, at that point, and that still has not been acknowledged, especially in the press.
Well, no. Yeah. But you got a lot of school boards now that are standing up saying that we're not going to do this again. We're not going to allow this. You got people that are getting on the school boards that are saying, no, not in our school district are we going to put up with this. And we want to get people on the boards that do that. Because not all kids have the opportunity to go to private school or wherever.
Wherever.
That's, yeah.
Well, one of the problems is there's these laws coming down from Sacramento, and they are onerous. And the school board is the last line of defense between the state and the teachers and and the students and the parents. So if you don't have a good school board, so I think Camille did a great job in saying, I know the Constitution of the United States and of California, and when these laws come down that are going to be turned unconstitutional, you know it's going to take a year. A lot of damage can be done, and she has the insight to know which ones to fight back on, and we'll try to intervene to help the students and the parents. So that really impressed me, whereas Casey said, well, you got to go with the rule of law, and if it's the law, you got to go with it until it's overturned. And there's a big difference.
Well,
yeah, there is.
There's also, okay, go back. Now, this is Thomas Jefferson. I consider the foundation of the Constitution is laid on this ground, that all powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by the states are reserved to the states and the people. So the people have the ultimate choice in whether they want to go along with this law if it's taking their individual rights away. And so the rule of law only goes so far. When it starts circumventing your rights as a parent, when it starts forcing you to have medical procedures without your permission, there it's no longer lawful. And so I don't care what Newsom the man, I'll tell you what, every time I say his name I want to blow a cork, because that guy is out of control. He makes a deal with the Chinese and buys $1 billion worth of masks right before the COVID thing to sell, and then he circumvents the Constitution on a regular basis. He usurps power that he's not supposed to have, and then he passes all these laws that are unconstitutional and takes on a bunch of emergency powers, and we're supposed to follow those rules?
But that's why the founding fathers.
Did the fathers have mutters?
Yeah. Set up the Constitution and everything so that the people would have the power.
We do
have the power to do what we need to do to protect our children.
You know, a good example of laws out of whack. Here you have OSHA saying you have to have the COVID vaccine. And people that didn't take the COVID vaccine lost their jobs when they stood up.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. And then, what, a year later, that law, they said OSHA didn't have the ability.
They didn't have the right to do that.
Yes. Lawsuits were filed, and there's people that are starting to win those lawsuits.
Right.
And here's
the other damage that went on to the people that did take the shots.
Here's the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The people have the final say in their own lives according to the Constitution, the 10th Amendment, the Bill of Rights. Take your pick. Court decisions.
Yep.
If you start circumventing those decisions and saying you're living by the rule of law, you are not living by the rule of law just because Grissom down there passes a rule that says you have to do something.
Yeah. And with that, I think we need to go to a break, and then we will pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down. I'll let that say, baby. There ain't no easy way out. I'll let that say.
United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Join Tolkien's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tolkien's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Seems like these days, no matter what you say, someone's losing their ever-loving mind. It's like they're looking for a reason to have their fragile feelings hurt every single time. My country took, I gas it up. You got your fancy Tesla hooked up to a plug. I know you're mad, you think I'm bad. 'Cause I'm breathing free at last and you're still stuck behind your mask and I'm offended. You're offended, let's all get offended tonight. I'll order us a beer, we can sit down right here and scream and yell at us and fuss and fight. Now hang on just a minute, you can't amend the First Amendment, you're offended, I defend.
You're listening to Sovereign Minds, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. Yeah, that's for all you guys out there that are offended. I guess we're hitting a nerve. It kind of makes me feel good.
Oh, man. Warms but my feelings.
Warms my little
feelings.
Heart. Oh, yeah. Oh.
But I feel. I feel. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Richard. Good morning, Richard. Or Dick. You there? Mr. Wilkinson, I know it's you. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what you got?
This is Dick Wilkinson.
I know.
Hey, I'm called in so Mark can calm down a little bit.
Never.
Anyway, I called in last week also. You know, I'm selling. I'm on the ticket for the drawing for three handguns for the Marine Corps Ball, which is on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. Anyway, the tickets are only $10 and only printed 100, and when you win a gun, you get a free CCW class come live from the Northern Firearms Instruction. Anyway, the one gun is a 9mm Glock, and the other one is a revolver, Ruger CR, LCR 38 Special Plus P, and the other one is a Rock Island 45 ACP Auto. And I'm on the ticket committee this year, and if you want tickets, you can call me and we can make arrangements to get it done. My number is 530-246-9131. And another guy on the is Rich Marsand, 530-275-5357.
And I'm sure you'll have some on Tuesday night, yes?
Yes, I will. And
okay.
So bring some cash. I'll have the tickets
Tuesday
night. And then there's one more thing. This is a different event. On the night before that, on Thursday, the November 9th, the California Rifle Pit Association is having a fundraiser at the Anderson VFW. And you can get tickets for that at Jones's Ford or Rejuvenate Pools, which is on 6512 West Side Road. And so there's going to be a raffle and all that, like a typical fundraiser. Master ceremonies is Chris Kellstrom, and Patrick Jones will be there. So, and also we're looking for donations. Anybody like to donate anything to go in the raffle or the live auction? It'd be appreciated. Anybody would like to donate to that? That's for the California Rifle Pistol Association on November 9th. So, anyway.
So, if somebody wants to donate, who do they get a hold of to pick it up or take it to?
You can get hold of Patrick Jones.
Okay.
At 222-3223 at Jones's Ford. Or you can call Rejuvenate Pools on West Side Road, but I don't have the phone number right now.
I don't have Gary's number over there at the shop.
Or you can call me, and I can help you get it done, too. Anyway, again, if you want any of these tickets on this, is the 9mm Glock, the 38 Special Ruger, a revolver, or the Rock Island 45 Auto. My number again is local 530-246-9131, or Rich Marzand 530-275-5357.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Wilkinson, we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, and I hope this little pause, it was time for Mark to calm down a little bit.
It's not. We're right back at it.
And with that,
okay, bye.
We have another caller. We
I'm
have
offended.
Christian.
I'm offended.
I'm offended.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's Christian.
It's Christy.
Oh, Christy.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Come on in.
I was sitting in silence for a minute, and I just want to make sure that, well, I'm not repeating something that was already discussed, but before the break, you were talking about how following the laws, and there were some people that were put in a position of whether they followed the law or they had to walk away from their job. And we need to consider the same thing as facing those who are taking care of our children, teaching our children. Just listening to one of the school board hearings, there was somebody that spoke up with that concern, and I just think that that's something to consider. Is somebody going to make the moral decision and do the right thing to possibly notify the parents of something, of a decision their child might be making for themselves that will harm them in the long run very, you know, deeply,
mm-hmm.
or save the job?
Yeah, there's consequences to everything you do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I wanted to share. Great show, you guys.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
I think Christy's always a good one to put it articulate. She takes a point and really explains it well. So thank you, Christy.
We were going to circle back to something.
There was something else you wanted to get out there before
One of the things that concerned me a little bit is that the teachers union, the Gateway Teachers Union, has endorsed Casey. And I think any time the teachers union, it ought to be the parents and the students that are endorsing a candidate.
Well, I'm always having a problem with these government unions, period, because they have everybody at the table, the money, the teachers, everybody's at the table except the parents. Isn't that interesting? And they're the ones that are paying for everything.
And they're one of the biggest unions there is the teachers union.
Yeah. So I was at the SEEK multicultural event yesterday in Anderson, and I did talk to the Gateway president of the teachers union, and that was Jeannie Morgan. And of course, she says, I totally support Casey. So, that, you know, we talked back and forth. She wasn't going to convince me, and I wasn't going to convince her, but I just thought it was interesting. And then Casey held a hot dog event in the park. Come have a hot dog and meet Casey. And I thought it was interesting that the two other candidates, Wilson and Lewis, were both there endorsing Casey. And I don't see anybody, I don't see them endorsing Camille King, and I don't see the Haineses endorsing her either. They might be more associated with her, but Camille is going to be the one that breaks the tie between these two opposing parties. And I believe with her ability to think and to think out a issue, she's going to run the whole school board if she's on there. Casey's simply going to side with
two other guys. He's just going to be a rubber stamp for the other two. Yeah.
So that's why this election is so important.
Interesting.
And this one is happening in November, correct?
November 7th. And everybody has already been mailed their ballots. It's
yeah,
totally
vote early,
mailed
vote
out.
Often, I guess, is the new saying now.
Right. And most of the people that I've talked to, gone around, they said, I know neither one of these people. I'm just going to throw my ballot away.
I haven't got a ballot yet.
And that...
Well, you're not Shasta Lake.
I know, but if I'm up there and I'm in the district... of that school district. See, that's why I'm a little thrown off.
Yeah.
I haven't got a ballot at this point.
Well, then somebody needs to call in if that doesn't go up to Mountain Gate, because don't people there go on to Central Valley High School?
Well, my son went to Central Valley
High
School.
Right, so.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't matter if you have children in school
at
all. Yeah.
Exactly. So that makes me wonder, again, do we have some kind of a thing going on?
No, I think you just didn't check your mail.
Oh, well, I check my mail, like, every day.
Well, here, when did they come out? When did the ballots come out?
Ballots came out
about the 14th
of October. And before that, they mailed a whole bunch of voter information with the candidate statements. They came out a week before that.
Well,
you're not registered. You're supposed to register.
I am registered.
How are you going to make a difference if you're not
registered?
I'm registered.
I just never have voted in these school boards at the...
They sent... a ballot to
this
every registered voter.
I'm a registered voter.
Who actually, if it's Shasta Lake, who's actually sending
it's
out?
It's not just the city of Shasta Lake. It's a much. It goes all the way
I'm
down.
I'm just wondering where the lines are at.
It goes down to Oasis Road and Camille.
All the way up to Lakehead.
And all the way to Lakehead. So I can't understand.
Yeah, but who actually, is it the register's office here that sends out the ballots?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So the school board pays the $50,000 and the election office.
I never got a ballot. I don't know why that is the case, and I'm not sure where I am at in the district other than what I believe what you say, you know, and I'm just right there in Mountain Gate.
Well, I know I got mine.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, this is interesting.
Well, and I know I just re-registered because I had to get my real ID, and they asked you to register, and I registered on the real ID in California again because I wanted to see if that was an issue.
Well, wait a minute. You register Republican?
No.
Independent.
I register Republican because you can't vote in the Republican primary without being a Republican.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was registered Republican, and I got one.
I would like to know if there's more people out there that didn't get... a ballot that's in that area.
Yeah.
And let us know.
A Republican.
it shouldn't matter. Everybody should get it.
Is it okay? Mm. Is it okay if you're a white guy?
Well, I'm pretty sure Greg's white, but I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know. I'm 1/32nd Cherokee.
Oh.
I hear that.
My brother.
I've been disconnected on the chat room. I'm not sure why. Here we go. I'm going back in. It's not at the large.
Only those living within the seat area are giving ballots.
Yeah,
I don't know what they mean by that.
Oh, that is right.
I'm sure there's an explanation.
Yes, okay.
I'm not pointing any fingers. I had missed that.
Like, if you were down in Buckeye, that is not in Area 2. So Mountain Gate is not Area 2.
Yeah, that's
Camille, Buckeye, right?
Yeah. So Camille is in Area 2, and Cheryl Clifford, who resigned, was in Area 2.
Yeah, because I'd never seen
so
these
that,
before. I just assumed that was
why.
In. Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you in the chat room for that. Yeah. We were wondering, so. All right. Is there any last things that you want to get out there, Greg? Go over
We've got
about 10 minutes.
You know, I asked about 12 questions to each candidate, and I didn't go through them. But at the end, I said, you know, I could have saved a lot of time on asking these 12 questions. I could ask you one question. I said, tell me who you voted for president in 2020. And Casey told me he voted for Biden, and Camille said he voted for Trump. So I thought, why didn't I just start with that question and save the other 20 questions?
That's a good point, that's for sure.
Sad day in America.
Although, did you have a few of the questions that you want to go over and see where they end up standing?
Well, I did ask some other one on parental rights.
And yeah, what was the answer there?
I said, if there was a book being read in the library and it was had objectionable sexual content in it, how would you handle that? And Camille King said, it should not be there. It should be done away with. And Casey's answer was, I think that you ought to opt your student out of the reading of it and let the rest of the class read it. And I thought that was the totally wrong.
Well,
I'm sorry. I have an issue with that because you can't even read those books at any kind of meeting, whether it's board of supervisors or any board, because they will sit there and say, that's way too profound.
Well,
please do not read it.
I'm so tired of this crap. Oh, you're banning books. Okay, if we're not going to ban any books, let's start teaching the Bible in there or something. Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute.
No, that's banned.
No, that's banned.
Yeah.
So we're not the ones that are banning books, right? So it's really ridiculous. Now, what we're saying is we don't need pornography in the schools. If you want to, that's not banning a book. If you want to read the Bible outside the school, go read the Bible. If you want to read, you know, whoever does what, in Debbie Does Dallas and Dixie, that's fine. Read it outside the school. But that's not something that the parents should have the right to have that not in the schools, period. And so it's not about banning any books. It's about being careful of the content that you're giving kids to learn with.
Yeah. Another question I ask about is that there's a big push to eliminate carbon dioxide in America, and we need to go to electric school buses. So I asked both candidates, if they cost three times as much, what would you do as a board member if we're being forced to buy electric school buses? As a little bit of background, I serve on the Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, and Newsom and the state are pushing zero-emission buses and vehicles on every agency, including RABA. And they're trying to go to CO2-fueled one, and that's all just smoke and mirrors, because there's green CO2, there's gray CO2, there's pink CO2, there's all sorts of different CO2s that are not really green.
I want to answer the chat room, too. So this gentleman holds tight to the two-party system. I personally don't believe in the two-party system. I believe that there's conservative values and there's very liberal values. Mm-hmm. And I think those cross all the different parties. But you only have two parties that you can actually register and vote in these elections and have any clout. Yeah. So what's your opinion?
Well, I was going to go back to the school bus.
Sorry.
Before you move on, didn't Shasta Lake or they bought electric school buses. But the issue, there lies the issue is charging it. Am I correct in that?
Charging is always an issue because we're going to have brownouts between 5 and 9 at night. We are, city of Shasta Lake, we have our own power system.
Okay.
And so, we are,
those are coming, is what you're saying.
And we have a charging station there that people can come in with their Tesla. We're putting in a fast charger right there at the city hall. But if it's a hot summer day and we have limited energy, we're going to send energy to the air conditioning of our citizens, and we're going to turn off that fast charger if they have
to. So, in other words, the technology hasn't caught up to the ability to be completely electric. Is what it is.
Well, if you want to be completely electric, California better build 3 new nuclear power plants.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because it's all coal-fired stuff, and so you're actually polluting the air, and their whole auspice of cleaning up the environment is complete crap.
Yes.
So it's going to take 40, 50, 60 years to get to the technology to where that might even be possible. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to have all of these electric devices that are mandated, and nobody can use them.
And to make an electric battery, it takes far more CO2 over in China than you're ever going to save.
Right.
But
so what were their answers?
Their answer was, Casey said, I think the school district needs to do their part in saving saving the nation and eliminating CO2.
See, that's a crap. That's a specious argument. I mean, if they've been using.
What's the other answer?
Go ahead. I'm off the deep end here. I'm losing it.
And Camille said, I'm not opposed to electric buses, but let's look at the economics on them and see where it all, and can they make it all the way to Lakehead and back or not? You know, so is
well,
that,
that's kind of
that
important make, when they're picking up kids all
that's
that
right.
way.
And especially in the cold, you're going to run an electric heater to keep the bus warm.
One of these, I'm remembering in the past, one of these electric buses, they had just got it, it had broken down and had an issue with it from
Didn't one catch fire?
There was another one that caught fire.
Oh.
I don't think that was the one, though.
Oh.
Well, there was a spurious one, too. They faked one of those videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But there are batteries, cars that are catching fire.
Fire a lot.
And you can't put them out once they start.
Well, you can't put them out with water. You can't have the fire department show up because that's not a good scene at all.
Well, and they did actually say, too, when those start fire, you're using so much more water to put one of those out. And they do try to put them out with water, but it doesn't
work. But, yeah, you have to actually use a different chemical than water.
Here's another interesting thing. What if the grid goes down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Newsom is saying that we need to get all of our line trucks for our utility be electric line trucks. And we are fighting that tooth and nail and saying they are emergency vehicles. Caltrans got an exemption. No snow plows are electric.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They're all diesel-fired snow plows because, one, they want the heat in the cab.
Because what happens when the grid goes down?
And so for our line trucks, the grid's down. It's down for 3 days. The truck's not going to be able to help put the new pole up.
Yeah, it's going to
be. Or whatever it's needed for, that's for sure.
Well, they don't work good in extreme hot or extreme cold. And my point on this that really just makes me wonder about all of it. Okay, so we're cutting back. Our emissions are cutting back. China is building new coal power plants. They're building now nuclear power facilities. And they're the only ones, really, that are actually working on the thorium nuclear power plants.
All you have to do is look at all of these things like climate change and the COVID.
BS.
Everything is a government usurpation of power that they're not supposed to have in the first place. Every single time. It's always the Lenin thing. Two steps forward, one step back. Every time something happens, we get more government. Every time something happens, we get more government. And it's about government control. They just throw this stuff out there for the useful idiots so that, oh, yeah, we want to have a clean climate. Well, everybody wants to have a clean environment. But you're not accomplishing it through this. All you're doing is consolidating power into the guys that tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. They lie about it. It's not doing any of the above.
You look at the people in places that are pushing this the most. San Francisco. Nobody even wants to go outside.
Yeah, look how well San Francisco's doing right now.
San Francisco is becoming a desert.
That's what I mean.
It's becoming something out of the Omega Man. I don't know if you remember that movie with Charlton Heston where everybody was kind of like turned into some kind of a weird guy that can only come out at night, you know, and everybody else died, and it was desolation. There's no food. There's no grocery stores. If you go down there, I looked at a thing on downtown the other day. None of the stores are open. All the guys are pulling the markets out of there. It's going to turn into a freaking desert because of their policies.
You look at the hundreds of stores that are closing. They're all in
there.
Hey, what are you talking about? The economy's doing great. Shut up.
Yeah, the big mall down there, you know, all the stores are leaving. Actually, they're suing the city.
So I'm going to make a final point here. Right. This school board is so divided, 2-2, it's dysfunctional.
Right.
And Casey is aligned with Lewis and Wallace.
Sounds like the Congress.
And Camille is more of an independent thinker, but she knows both Lindsey Haynes and she's known Dale Wallace for years. So I think she is the person to bridge the gap between both sides. And
so maybe there's some compromising that can happen.
So I see she's the only one that will make this Gateway School Board be functional and will look out for parental rights and take the students' issues first and not the school union.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Well, I want to appreciate and say thank you for coming in and giving us the information. I know not all of our listeners are in that area, but this goes back to what's happening within our government and in our backyard, in our community. And the only way we know these things is to get involved with the city of Shasta Lake and these school boards and districts and everything.
And what we've done, we've given Patrick Jones a chance here to show how he's going to count the ballots. This is the first test.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So, again, thank you for coming in. And
well,
if you have
you.
Any Absolutely. Updates, please get a hold of me and let me know, and we will get you back on.
All right. Very good, Greg. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
right.
you.
You have a wonderful day.
All right. I think we're just about
out. Yeah, we're pretty much out of time. Yeah. We got a couple minutes. Don't forget, we've got the Veterans Day Parade coming on November 4th.
And you can still get your application in. For another about almost a week to the Lions Club, and they're online to fill out that Veterans Parade event. It's the biggest Veterans Parade north of Sacramento, really.
Right. And usually you are either in front of us or behind us when we're in the parade. Well,
I am going to represent, be Paul Revere again, ride my horse down, and I hope they put me at the front of the parade. I'm tired of being
I think we're out of time. They're going to cut us off.
All right.
We'll see you all next week.
Have a good week, everybody.
All Gun Control's racist. See you all next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.